European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, December 26, 1999, the last Sunday of this year. And I'm going to be preaching today on Earth, God's University of Faith, Part 11. And we're going to learn today a class that I think that all of us from time to time fail, and that is the class of love. I can hear pins drop here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you right now that you can open up the Word to us. That Father God, give us understanding, revelations, what divine agape love is all about. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if I would ask you, and I'm not going to ask it publicly, because I don't want to make anyone liar here, but how many of you do not have problem with temper, anger? Anyone raise your hand, and I will pray for you. Now, as human beings, anger and temper has plagued us since the day we were taken home from the hospital, we were born at home, and to this day. We can be sweet, nice, kind, loving, but all of us got a trigger point, and when a demon pushes that trigger point, the sweetness, the love, the joy, all the attributes of the Holy Ghost flies out the window. Our face will change, our voice will change, and we are suddenly, you know, just, I'm ready to go. Now, that's a disease. It's a disease of sin that we do not need. I'm joking with people saying this. If you really want to know if you are saved, work around people, and particularly if they smash their fingers or drop something on their feet or whatever it is, whatever comes out will tell you how deep the love of God is in them. If you get some nasty words coming out, you do know that there's some dirt in that heart. If you have somebody mash their fingers and they say, well, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, for healing that right now, you know that person has gone a little way into growing in Christ. Now, agape love. The Greek word here is agape, and agapeo is a verb. Agape is a noun. How do you pronounce that, Sotiris? We got a Greek scholar here. He was born a Greek scholar. Didn't have to work for it. Agapao. And how is a noun pronounced? Agape. Here we go. Sounds almost like Russian or Swedish. Now, let's just read. After we studied the subject of obedience and morality, we're now going to investigate the subject of love. In the English language today, we have basically one word for love. This is used to say that we love God, we love a person. But we also use it like, I love ice cream, or I love Mexican food, or whatever you love. The New Testament is written in Greek, which has several words expressing the feeling of love. Agapao is a verb. Agape is a noun, which means the kind of love that God has for people, strong enough to send his only begotten Son to die for us. Now turn to Romans 5:6. Romans 5:6. You know, it is easy to be a Muslim. You understand that? Because a Muslim is expected to be angry, wiping out his enemies, and evangelize with a sword. That comes natural. You take many other religions. Let me give you a dumb story, because I want to make a point. It's a dumb story, so you know that from the beginning. It was this sailor, and he came to some kind of a heathen land, and he asked this native if he was a Christian. And the native said, no, I'm not a Christian. So he took him and dipped it under the water, held it there for about 2-3 minutes, brought him up again after the guy had gasped for air and cleared his lungs and stuff. He said, are you a Christian? He said, no, sir. He went down again. After 2-3 minutes, he pulled him up. So the guy had been spitting up and getting his air back and so on. He said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. He said, then die in that faith that he put him under. Now, you see, a lot of us like to evangelize with a fist, with power, and tell people, you got to get saved. I'm going to cream you, do this and that. God is love, and God wants us to have his kind of love. In Romans 5:6, for when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet prevents for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being not just by his blood, we should be saved from wrath for him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his love. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now I want you to think about how this agape love works. There are some people that you do not like. There are some people that might be plotting against you. There are some people that are doing ill toward you. And you, some of you might tolerate them. But you see, when you and I were as ugly we can be in our sins, Christ died for us. This is agapao or agape love, divine love. I did not know this, and I just found that out after about 30 years of the ministry. But the word charity has been misused. Charity is the old English word for agape, agapao. We use charity today. We think about the Red Cross. We think about, you know, United Way. But charity really means God's agape love. So when you read the King James Version, and it says, if you do not have charity or God's divine love, you are nothing. We can look in chapter 13 in a little bit. The Greek word for "I love to visit you" is philo. Turn to Mark 12:38. The Gospel of Mark 12 and verse 38. Let me get there. Mark 12 and verse 38. And he said to them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes which love philo, to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces," or they like to visit things. This verb is philo. What? Okay, in my dictionary, it only had you probably talking modern Greek. This is Koine Greek. Okay. Fellow. Okay. But anyway, what I want to bring out here is this. It says, "Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutation in the marketplaces, and the chief sits in the synagogues in the utmost rooms of the feast." These people love to be admired. They love to be recognized. They wanted people to say, "Well, there is a true Pharisee." Well, today when someone said there's a true Pharisee, it's negative. In those days, it was positive. Let's look at another word. To love a person as a friend in Greek is phileo. You have it in John 11:3. Love our brethren is Philadelphia. That's where we get the city of Philadelphia from. The city of brotherly love. The love of money is Philagoras. And let's look that up in 1 Timothy 6:10. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. Now my pronunciation might not be square in the Greek corner, but you can always go and get a lesson after the service from Soteris. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. For the love of money. I want you to see now, he is not using the word agape. There's no divine love here. The word is philagoras. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some come after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If we just look upon English, we think, well, this is kind of the same kind of love. The love of money is not divine agape. It's a greedy, murderous, angry, possessive type of desire, where we want to have more and more and more. And it is the root of all evil. Just about every crime, every war, is this kind of love after power, money, strength, recognition. This is something you don't want to have. The word love of spouse or children is philotechnos. The love of a husband is philandros. And love toward man is philanthropia, where we get the word of people that are simply kind to people in the world. Eros is the Greek word for sexual love. And when someone says, well, you know, husband and wife makes love, it is not the word agape, it is a word eros. It's a sexual, physical attraction and has nothing to do with the love of God. I'm not saying it's wrong for husband and wife to be together, but it's not really agape love. And we should understand that agape love is above and far beyond anything on this earth. Having that as introduction, let's now move and see what we should do. To pass this class of agape love, and we all have to take this class, that born again and believing in Christ must learn to love God above anything else. Let's look in Exodus chapter 20, the book of Exodus, and the 20th chapter. Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You shall have no other gods. If you read the ugly Sacramento Bee paper Friday, they had, or actually it was probably Saturday, they had an article on the front page, big one inside, 2,000 unity. And I'm sure they loved to write that article. And it simply said this, that in this new millennium, the Christians all over the world, particularly in Sacramento, are going to put aside all the differences. They're going to meet for several hours on January 2nd to be singing praises to God and to have four different speakers speak to them. As I knew about this, I scanned the article. I found a pastor for one of the largest Pentecostal churches here in town. He's retired now. He's also a presbyter of the Assemblies of God worldwide. He's going to be one of the keynote speakers. Ma'am, the largest Assembly of God church in this city, one of their pastors and staff said this, we have longed for this for a long time, and we are going to put doctrine aside way on the back burner, and we are simply going to come together. One of the leaders for the Southern Baptist in his town said, finally it is happening. The Roman Catholic bishop said, it is marvelous. Well, here they are. The religious, the famous, the powerful, coming together. And then one of the, I believe it was a Pentecostal pastor, made a statement saying this, we are not going to evangelize at this time. We're just going to have a good time. If these ministers would have said that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they would be called into the district office. They would have been asked to either resign or repent. Who else is going to be out there? Your homosexual churches, all the deviates, Buddhist, Jewish people, they're all going to be together in the name of love. But let me ask you a question, and all you watch us by television, video, or audio cassette. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to Jerusalem. There was a Jewish state religion in power. Did Jesus tell his disciples, hey boys, we don't really want to, you know, get the rabbis too upset. Let's just tone it down a little bit. Let's not talk about a cross. Let's not talk about death. Let's talk about just worshiping God. They do it their way, and us boys in this way. And that way everybody gets along. You know, if Jesus would have taught that, he would have never been crucified. He would have been hailed as the greatest Jewish rabbi for history. Tolerant, with no doctrinal stance. He would simply be without a spine. But what did Jesus do? He said this, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, except through me." He said, "I am the resurrection." The apostle says there's no other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved than Jesus Christ. You see, agape love is not to compromise. Agape love is to give the truth that will set us free, that will make a person to be born again and saved. Let's say now that this church would join that group out there. We says, "Well, you know, let's not be too nasty. You know, we always, you know, stand aside. Let's just go out and join the rest of them." Are we loving people? No. We send them to hell because we're not giving them the truth. God does not want to have his life shared. How can a born-again believing Christ stand lifting hands, holding hands, praying together with Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, homosexuals, Roman Catholics are not born again? How can we do that and say that we worship the living God? Jesus never did join the Jewish state religion. What did they do to him? They took him outside the city. They took him outside the city to be crucified. And there he died. And if you want to come to Jesus, you got to go outside the city, not in the religious establishment. How much do you love Jesus? In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said this. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We pick it up from verse number 34. "But when the Pharisees had heard, he had put the Sadducees to silence. They began together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, 'Master, which is a great commandment of the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God, agape, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.'" What does that mean in your life? That means that you got a consuming fire, that you want to please God. You want to worship him. You want to walk with him. You want him to have preeminence in your life at all times. This is the kind of love that God expects from us. How do we get it? It's a gift of God. You see, you cannot will it, so I'm going to start loving God. Even that is a gift that is dropped into a heart. We need to pray for that. Secondly, learn to love other people. In Matthew 22:39, we read this. "And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Do I love Pastor Glenn Cole, I love him with the love of God. You see, he's a brother. He's got into deception. Do I love the Catholic bishop? I love him. Jesus died for his soul. We got to hate people's sin, but we got to be sure that we love them. We cannot say, okay, let's just move them down. Christ died for them. There was a time when you and I walked in darkness. There was a time when we did not know what was up and down, and we run around. And somebody said, take that person out. But God had mercy on us, and he kept us alive. Look upon that again. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God had me tested. I got a neighbor. Not going to mention his name. And some time back, we met, and he was asking me, he said, what are you doing about the Y2K? I said, well, we have some preparation. By the way, he's a Mormon. He said, I'm glad, because I've been talking about you to my wife, and we've been discussing if I should feed you or shoot you. Man, what do you do with a neighbor like that? You still love him. I said, well, that's nice that you be, you know, you are concerned about my welfare. You know, if you're hungry, they shoot you. No, you're not hungry anymore. No, you're out of misery. But you see, even if you feel that hostility, that nastiness, we got to love them. What changes people? If you come up like this to somebody and says, okay, now, you're rotten, no good, bum, scum, I'm going to give you the gospel. I hope you don't repent. You go to hell, but here it is. They will not accept Christ. What touched you? The love of God through other people. We got no option. We got to love people. In John 13, this is hard. You know, in the church, what do you do with people that are sandpaper? Do you try to remove some of the sand? In John 13, we read this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was coming, he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them. A gap of love to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now been put into the heart to discourage Simon's son to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he was come from God and went to God. He rose from his supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. I want to dwell upon Judas Iscariot. Here was Judas. Jesus knew that this man is going to betray him. Yet, he washed his feet. Judas got the same chance as all the rest of them. If you would know that in this congregation is a government agent working for the FBI, the CIA, sitting right here, who's been taking notes, taking down names and addresses. And that someday, if the Antichrist system comes in, when it comes in, that man will be the cause for you to go to prison. If you would know that man, that woman sitting here right now, would you be able to go up and wash that man's feet or that woman's feet and tell them, I love you with the love of God? It would take a lot for us. What did Jesus say when they nailed him to the crossbeam? Can you imagine, first of all, having your feet laid across like this, a huge nail about that thick, but that long, being crushed through your bones in your legs here, and then going into the wood behind. And then they didn't put the nails here, they put them up in the wrist because it hurt more. And then he said, this Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. That's a gap of love. Let's be honest. You and I don't have it. It has to be given to us. It's a gift. Let's not fool ourselves as, well, I'm pretty good. None of us are. God is. But this is what we should strive for. This is what we should pray for. Jesus, in verse 10, said to him, he that washed needs not say to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should be trained. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. Judas, as he was sitting with his feet in a basin, having Jesus' tender hand wash his feet and then dry them. What do you think went through Judas' mind? If you ever had your feet washed, I tell you, it's the most humbling experience you can go through. He must have thought, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Jesus knew that this man is going to betray me. I spent 3 years with him. I loved him. I gave him everything I had. Matter of fact, he was a treasurer. He had a bag of money. He had a gift of healing. He cast out demons. And he rejected the Son of God and spit out of him. And yet Jesus loved him to the end. Judas could have repented if he would have wanted to. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said to them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If thy then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give an example that you should do as I have done to you. You know, it's natural in us to get even. Somebody hurt us. We want them to suffer. We want to get even. We want to make sure that it comes back on them. But you see, that's not a gap of love. You don't get even. You give them love. Jesus said, if somebody came up and smacked in one side of his cheek, you turn the other one. You don't destroy anyone. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you love people. Turn to Matthew 5. Now, this is tough. This is where it really gets tough. Matthew 5:43. Matthew 5:43. You've heard. It has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, agape your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a verse we cannot get away from. We got no choice. Those that despitefully use us. How many of you have not been persecuted by people that despitefully use you? And Jesus said, love them. Agape. I heard a testimony of this woman. They made a movie after her, The Hiding Place, Cora Ten Boom. And Cora Ten Boom lost a number of people in the concentration camp in Germany during World War II. But God was going to test her. And in her 80s, she was having a speaking engagement someplace in Germany. And at that meeting was one of the Nazi guards, an old man there. And God said, Corey, I want you to forgive him. She said, no, I will not forgive him. She thought about the beatings, the kicking, the death of her sister, the suffering. How ruthless this man had been. But the Holy Spirit wanted her to graduate. And he worked on her. And finally she went down to that man, he got to her. And it broke. And the divine love came through. And she said, I forgive you. And she was able to hold him in her arms. That's divine love. That's agape. And this is where God wants you and me to come to that place. Because we might be asked to give our life for his name. This is not something we just say, oh yeah, I can do this. This is a gift of God and we gotta pray, Father, give me that gift of loving. When somebody called you scumbag, when somebody called you dirty names, when they slandered you and cussed you up and down, and you take your eyes and put them right in their face, and he says, I forgive you, and I love you with the love of God. That's the biggest weapon in God's kingdom. God wants us to live like this. Learn to love your enemies. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect. That means complete. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect or complete. Matthew 5. 44 is a tough chunk. You don't learn that in an afternoon. It takes a lifetime. Are you willing? Do you understand now what the Bible says? Jesus said this, take up your cross daily. Crucify yourself and walk with me. This is what it means. When somebody takes a parking lot for you, a parking spot, somebody runs in front of you at the cash register, somebody sneers at you, instead of just, can you say, turn around and says, well, if you're in such a big hurry, help yourself. And remember this, God loves you. We need to practice that. I am probably 5% into this class. I got 95% to go. Don't know where you are yet, but we need to. This class got to be passed. Third, turn to Matthew 28. If you love other people, you want to witness to them. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Agape love would inspire you to witness and lead sinners to Christ. I was so excited. My wife was excited last week, and I was scared to even show excitement because we've been burned so many times. This couple that came up here to us last week, we spent about 45 minutes in the back here talking to them. And they were just bubbling over, particularly she was just bubbling over. She was so excited over truth, the Bible. She called about 3 or 4 times this week. And she said, I got to share this with my mother. I got to share it with these friends. They need it. This is agape love. You know, so many of us have got cold water on us. How many of you have got cold water? Somebody come up with a big bucket and go, poof. And you know, after 56 buckets, we begin to cool down. I don't know if I want to witness anymore. They don't want to get saved anyway. Let them go to hell. They deserve it. You don't have the love of God when you say that. It's anything but the love of God. You got to learn this. Can I use the term, get a wetsuit? So when they throw water on you, you don't get cold. Agape love would inspire you to witness. Fourth, agape love would inspire to pray for the sick and cast out demons. Turn to Luke 9, the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, and verse number 1. And we read this. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority of all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is what Jesus did. If you have agape love in you, when you meet somebody who's sick, you want to heal them. When you see somebody possessed with demons, you want to cast the demons out. You see, this is the love of God in us that wants to express it. And then turn to chapter 10 in the Gospel of Luke. After these things, the Lord appointed all the 70 also. And he sent them 2 and 2 before his face that they were sitting in place when he himself would come. Therefore said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. If you really love God, if you have agape love in you, you want to witness. You don't want to do like these people are going to do next Sunday, where they say, we're not going to evangelize. That's not the love of God in them. If we love somebody, we want to evangelize. You know, I had to go to one of these big box warehouses this last week. Had my nephew with me. Never seen a place full of people before. And as I was coming out with him, we were going down there, probably about 400 people standing to be checked out. The Holy Spirit said, this is just like hell. Because about between, I think about 10 million people die every day. And I said, Charles, I said, look at this. I said, it's just like hell. Every day there are lines of people are being checked in. And they're being assigned as special slots. Chains have been put wrapped around them. And they're taken to a place of torment. Can you imagine standing in line in hell waiting for you to have the flame turn on you? I couldn't preach there. But I would have wanted to. But you see, if you have the love of God in you, when you see people, you want to reach out as much as you can and tell them about Jesus Christ. And you want to heal them and cast out the demons. In John 14:15, agape love will inspire you to love, to obey Jesus Christ. In John 14:15, if you love me, if you agapeo me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you really love me, if you agapeo me, divine love, then do what I tell you. That's love. That's agape love. Most of us, we says, well, Jesus, you know, it's tough, this and that. There's nothing tough on this earth that God cannot solve. Let me drop this on you. The crust that you have, listen closely now, look at me. The crust that you carry has been designed specifically by God the Father for you to carry that so that you can graduate at the time of departure. He will send the sandpapers into your life. He will send the difficulties. All the things are sent for you and me to learn how to love and how to obey. You might test yourself. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm about 5% into this class. And I'm struggling to finish test after test, you know. You got those weekly tests. Then you got a monthly test. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, you don't use this on your spouse. Understand that? With somebody else. When somebody, if it is your husband, your wife, they blow up, you know, when there's all kind of blue streaks going in the room, you don't say, well, dear one. Now, Galatians 5 says this, the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What are you right now giving me? I tell you what, you might as well take nitroglycerin. And you shove it in the room and put a match on it. That's not a time. This is a test for you and me. Do I have love, agape? Do I have joy? Do I have peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such is no law. Every day, test yourself. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Now, God did not make these hands that you and I have to deck people with. These hands are made to love, to work, to create. God never intended people to close their fists and deck one another with. That's from the devil. We are to bless people with our hands, with our feet, and our bodies. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I hope today that this will be a deep understanding. This is what Paul said. I believe he was the greatest apostle of all of them because of his writings, his sufferings, his insight. But I might be colored, but I like Paul. And this man said this, "Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity?" Remember, not charity in English is agape. "I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and knowledge, and do I have all faith that can remove mountains, and have not charity, agape, I'm nothing. And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and do I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, agape, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity wants not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 13. And I abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Open your spirit for a moment here. I know you're open, but let me tell you this. When you and I are at the marriage feast of the Lamb, we have been through the judgment seat of Christ. We have our robes of righteousness that God has given us. And we stand there. There will be no more prophecies. There will be no more preaching. No more revelations. Because everything is known. And the only thing that will last through eternity is agape love. Because the love of God will last through eternity. We don't need hope then. We don't need faith. We have charity, agape love. I want you to think about this. How many of you have not had friends that you drop? You drop friends if they do not behave. What a terrible feeling to find out we've been in heaven for 155,000 years. And God said, "Folks, I'm sorry, I'm sick and tired of you. I won't love you anymore. Out." What a horrible day. But you see, the anchor we have knowing is this. God never changes. His love will never cease. And it will last and last and last. He will not get tired of us. How many of you haven't had people that visit you at times? And your visitors do not want to go home. And you're getting tired. You give hints. They don't see that. They just keep talking, having a good time. Then you give all the hints. Already. Doesn't bother them a bit. They just keep having a good time. And finally, in desperation, you stop and say, go home! But praise God, He will never get tired of us. He will never say, go away. Love will last for eternity. Now, your final test, you're going to get it one way or the other. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. You're going to be tested in this. Guaranteed. You might have to sacrifice your son or your daughter. But you're going to get a test that is going to take everything in you. And it came to pass that these things that God did test Abraham. If you look at a Hebrew text, there is test. And said to him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering unto one mountain, which I will tell you of. Before you die, before you leave this earth, you will have that test. It will come to you when God feels that you have passed all the preliminary tests. It will be a sacrifice of such proportion it's going to stagger you. He might ask you to give up all your possessions. Might have to do with your family. It might, whatever it is, it's going to be the most dearest possession in your life. The thing that you value the most. He's going to come one day and knock on your door. Bill, Tom, Lois, Sharon, I want to talk to you. When you hear that, you go, not today, Lord. You know what's coming. Not today. And he's going to say, yes. Are you willing to sacrifice this now? Are you going to be able to do what Abraham did? He didn't even question it. He simply said, Father, God, I will. We've read this chapter before. It's familiar with you. He went. He obeyed. And God did not stay him until the knife was up. And just he was able to plunge the knife down. God said, hold it, Abraham. Now I know that you passed. Are you willing today to pray, Father God, prepare me for that test? Prepare me, Lord, because I love you so much. Do you know what I did to Abraham? Do you know what I did to him? It says this in verse 11, an angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand upon a lad. Did you anything with him? For now I know that you fear God. For now I know that you worship me. Seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. No wonder, verse 14, God called the place Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. In the mount of the Lord it should be seen. God blessed him. Flip over to Romans. I'm going to show you something there. In the book of Romans, chapter 4. What shall we say that Abraham's fathers pertained to the flesh as found? For if Abraham was justified by works, it were of to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed. Believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham is going to hold a great position in heaven. God wants you and I to have positions in heaven for eternity. But he has to take us through this school. These classes have got to be taken so that someday, after everything is over, we have a new earth and a new heaven. He can take you and put you in a position of great power, knowing you will not make a mistake. You will have the characteristics and the power to serve him through eternity. And here is where we learn it. Again, I won't ask that question as we come to a close. Are you willing to be tested by God for your final grade? I'm not really asking God that I'm ready to take that test. That's something only he can say. None can say, well, I'm ready to go right now. Let's just have it over with, Lord. You got to be prepared. But I know this before you and I leave this earth, we have to give up that thing we love so much. I never forgot when I lost my father, that's about a year and a half ago or so. And I was not prepared. I've been fighting to keep him in prayer. As I came in to their place, I called the paramedics. And then when the paramedic came out of the room, and he simply said, it's over. And at that time, I just wanted to break down and cry and just bawl. I mean, it flooded me. Another guy sitting at the table simply said, okay, we got some paperwork to do. And I wanted to deck him. Because I felt, you know, paperwork? My father just left and you want me to do paperwork with you? And there I had to die a little bit myself. Where I simply had to compose myself and do the paperwork. And give him the things he needed. Do you need to repent? Do you need to correct your actions? Do you have an ear to hear with? I want you to think about this lesson today as God has given it. I would say obedience is important. Morality is important. But I would say with Paul, if you got it all and you do not have agape love or charity, you don't have it. This is where it starts. This is where it starts. How can we obtain it? We can say, Father God, forgive me my sins. Lord, I have been ugly. I lose my temper. I cuss people out. I cuss my loved ones out. I do bad things and I don't want to do it, Father God. Cleanse me. Help me. Let the blood of Jesus work in me. And Father, fill me with your love. And God will. Somebody get Luba for me. Let's stand. Oh, there she is. Let's stand. We're going to sing our invitation. Before we do that, as you're getting ready, I want to pray right now for the people that are watching us by video, those audio cassettes. Father God, I just come myself, Lord, as your servant. And I ask you, Father God, forgive me for the many times I lost my temper, particularly with the ones I love. For the many times, Lord, we get short. And I got short, Lord. I just pray right now, Father, that the blood of Jesus cover me. Father, I get angry with people. And Lord,
I cannot truly say I loved him, but I ask you to give me that love. And we ask today, Father God, a resurrection life of Jesus Church, that we will not become elitist, that we will not say, well, we got the truth and we're the only ones. But Father, keep us humble, keep us loving, keep us thankful. Help us to understand that whatever we have, we received as a gift. We did not earn it. We sure didn't figure this out. We're not smart enough. And I pray today, Father God, that you will baptize us, this church, with your love. Let the love of God just baptize us today, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, including everyone listening, everyone viewing, Father, so that, Father God, you can use us as your living stones, loving people in a dying world. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for those that prayed with me, that you would touch them and guide them mightily. In Jesus' name. You watching me right now by video or listening by audio tape, you might say, I'm not saved. Just say this, Father God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me right now. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, come on in and save me right now and be my Lord and Savior. And he will. May God bless you to pray that prayer of salvation. And I thank you for coming with us. Write us, call us if you're still here. But most of all, call on Jesus. God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Ghost loves you. And they want to be with you. Praise the Lord.